Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to an hour of mind power. Woo! Couldn't get my mouth wrapped around the words there, but we're going to start off with something that I think today you'll find very, very useful to you. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a guest, Clint Arthur, who has two books that we're going to be talking about in the first part of the show today. And I want to welcome Clint to the program.
Thank you very much, Donna. Pleasure to be with you.
Now, we're going to be talking about your two books. I met you in New York at the National Publicity Summit, and you're a man that really has quite a passion for life, but more than that, you really have put a lot of work and effort into these two publications because they are very significant to you. Tell us a little bit about your personal story. You've had quite an eclectic background, everything from being a cab driver to whatever. Tell us what that was, and why were you inspired to do these two books?
All right. Well, I guess it all began when I was in high school, and my creative writing teacher was a man named Frank McCourt, and Frank was the author of amazing book, probably the best book I've ever read.
Okay, Clint, are you moving around with your phone? I hate to interrupt you, but it's like there's wind.
Yeah, it's going to be much better in one second. So okay. Frank McCourt was one of the most inspiring people I've ever met. He wrote a book called Angela's Ashes. And ever since I was a kid studying with Frank McCourt, I have wanted to be a writer. And so after I graduated from the Wharton Business School, I decided I was going to move out to Hollywood and become a screenwriter. And in those days, this is in the 80s, Spike Lee was very hot with his movie, She's Gotta Have It. He wrote that movie, he produced it, directed it, and starred in it. And eventually my ambitions grew to become like Spike Lee. I wanted to be a filmmaker and a movie star. Mm-hmm. And after 10 years of chasing that Hollywood dream, I found myself one day laying awake on my boat in the middle of the night reading Frank McCourt's book by flashlight, thinking to myself, what went wrong with my life? Here, I was holding in my hands my teacher's book, which had just won the Pulitzer Prize, and I was a graduate of the same business school as Donald Trump, and I was a taxi driver, and I was freezing to death every night in the winter because I was living on a small boat and the boat had no heat, and it gets real cold on the water, even in Los Angeles in the middle of February.
Mm-hmm.
And I was literally laying there in my bed, bundled in all my clothes, watching the condensation from my breath coming out of my mouth because I was so cold and shivering, and I realized I had to do something to change my life. And I started doing all kinds of self-help work. I did it all. I walked on fire with Tony Robbins. I did Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, The Artist's Way. I did men's power ceremonies, and things started to change for me. Things started to turn around. But I continued to stay involved in self-help. And one day I was sitting in a self-help circle with a group of men, and this crazy old crippled white man whose skin had turned black as coal from his rheumatoid arthritis complications, he pointed a crooked finger at me and he said, "You don't know it yet, but you're already dead." And that was something that I could not stop thinking about. I laid awake at night thinking, what did he mean, I'm already dead? I would wake up in the middle of the night from dreams, I'm already dead, what does that mean? And then it came to be New Year's Day, and I sat down to write my list of goals like I would do every year. And I asked myself a critical question, and that was, what would you want to do this year if this was going to be the last year of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And that is when my life really began to change, because now I was racing against a true ticking clock. I had set this up for myself. This was going to be my last 52 weeks. And I wrote down the 10 most important things that I wanted to do. And those included writing my book about the success secrets that I had learned from the Wharton Business School in the entrepreneurial department. And I had been procrastinating that for 10 years. And that year, I wrote that book in 3 months. And I put down that I wanted to open a factory. I had started a gourmet food company. I got out of taxi driving when I bought 40 pounds of butter that I needed, and I became an entrepreneur in the gourmet food industry, and I had been buying products from other people, and I said, this year I want to build a factory that if something were to really go wrong with me, my wife or my 13-year-old daughter could take over the factory and still be able to make money. And I did. It was October of 2008. Everyone knows the whole financial world was collapsing. And mm-hmm. there I was, the only guy in Las Vegas, shopping for warehouse space. And I signed a lease on November 14th of 2008, and I started building my factory. And I was, you know, within 6 months, I was producing my own product. And if it wasn't for that factory, my company would have been another victim of the Great Recession. And then that year, I also realized, hey, I was obese. I was 236 pounds. You know, I was pretending that I was fat and happy. Well, I didn't want to be fat anymore. And that year, I lost 40 pounds without joining a gym, changing my diet, or hiring a trainer. And I will explain exactly how to do that later on in this interview, because I know everybody wants to know how to do that. And it's very easy. And lastly, but most importantly, I was able to turn around my marriage, which after 7 years with my wife was on the rocks. And it was on the rocks because I was pretending to be fat and happy, and I wasn't confronting the difficult issues that were presenting us at that point in our relationship. And I'm pleased to say that we were able to get into counseling. And in February of this year, we celebrated our 10-year anniversary together. So those were the things that I accomplished, and I continue to progress. Like, you know, that was like the starting point for me. And one of the things that I'm most passionate about is not being satisfied with who I am. I'm always striving to become a better person in any way that I can. And so I continued with self-help, and I found myself that year in a self-help seminar entitled Train Your Brain for Success. And that year, I took that seminar. It was just a 2-hour seminar, and basically the PhD who was teaching it, his name is Rob Irwin from San Diego, California, an amazing man. He explained to us how our circumstances are determined by what our subconscious mind believes to be true about our lives, and that if we wanted to change anything in our lives to be more successful at it, all we had to do was to change our subconscious beliefs about whatever that was. So mm-hmm. I said, well, hey, Dr. Rob, could I double my income? Could I, like, change my belief that I deserve to be earning twice as much money? And he said, sure, why not? So I basically took his formula for how to reprogram your subconscious mind, and I doubled it because I didn't want to take any chances. And if he said you had to do something 10 times a day, I said, well, I'm going to do it 25 times a day. And if he said that you have to do it for 90 days, I said, I'm going to do it for 180 days just to make sure. And that's what I did. And I was able to double my income in a 180-day period. And then I was so amazed by that that I wrote the book, The Income Doubler. Mm-hmm. And I got a bunch of my friends, and I said, and also some business associates, because in the intervening period of time, I had started this program. Like, I was so successful in changing my life and turning it around during the last year of my life. I said to my wife, hey, what if I make this available to people on the internet and lead a group of people from around the world on a 52-week last year of your life program via conference calls or internet or Skype or whatever? And I did that. And I had people all around the world. I had a guy on an oil platform in the North Sea from Denmark, and I had someone from Fiji, and I had people in every state and in Canada, and it was incredible. And I wrote that book, The Last Year of Your Life, and then I wrote The Income Doubler, and I recruited people from The Last Year of Your Life, as well as other old friends of mine who were business people. And sure enough, the six people who completed the last year of your life, the Income Doubler 180-day training program, doubled their income or more than doubled their income. One guy, he went from $24,000 a month to $54,000 a month in income in 180 days. Without changing his job, without doing anything different except changing what he believed to be true about what he deserved about himself. So I have video testimonials on all of that, by the way, on theincomedoubler.com. And they're very fascinating because the people are, you know, one woman was an actress, another person was a photographer, another person was a college planner. This guy had a magazine where he sold advertising for his magazine. He's the one who went to 54,000. And so all of these people from all different walks of life were able to double their income. And they can see that on theincomedoubler.com. So that's basically the story of how I wrote the Last Year of Your Life book and the Income Doubler book and how we got to where we are today.
There are so many various points that you bring out in your Income Doubler book. And one of the reasons that I think it's a wonderful workbook, and it's a hands-on workbook, you just do it page by page, is that it does enable you to develop a focus. And the aspect of the subconscious learning by repetition is known, and that is part of the principle that's applied here. And you just keep working with it over and over and over again. And I know so many people have heard, oh, yes, this, that, or the other, have heard it before. Why is it that yours is different? Well, with each one of your pages, you have a different story with each one, which I think is great. And then you're asking people to perform a certain exercise, and it is being repetitive, but you bring these other thoughts in at the same time. And I think that's what makes your book so fascinating, and what a wonderful challenge for someone to take on who might be facing financial difficulties. Look at what's going on. You can't turn on the television and not have something in newscast that's talking about how bad things have gotten in the United States. However, if someone were able to shift the thinking and realize you don't have to buy into everything that's being said on the boob tube, as it's so frequently called, you want to take charge of your own mind and your own life. Your book, The Income Doubler, enables someone to do that, and they can do it whenever they want. If they're on the road traveling, they just pack it in their suitcase and take it with them. And I really think that that's a very good aspect. Now, I also wanted to cover the book that you have. So you explained The Income Doubler, talking about the people that you did your test model with and the benefits with all of that. The book, The Last Year of Your Life, and again, you can find out more about this on his website, and we'll be sure to give you that again. I really like the quote right at the first part of your book by Dale Carnegie. It's, "Take a chance, all life is a chance. The man who goes furthest is generally the one who is willing to do and dare." There are so many people today that are scared to death. A lot of their security has gone away. They say, things are changing. I don't know that I know what to do to go through these changes. Now, you yourself have just talked about what you've gone through, how you went through and determined you were going to have, within a year, a new manufacturing opportunity. It's with butter. Most people wouldn't even give that a consideration. They buy butter at the market every day. They don't know what it takes to get certain things produced and prepared so that they have the convenience of it at their fingertips in the local stores that they attend. Las Vegas, Nevada.
I didn't either. I didn't either, Donna. You know, that's what had stopped me from creating this factory the first time I thought about it. I had previously, 5 years earlier, I had begun to consider what it would take to create a factory in Las Vegas, Nevada, to manufacture the portion control butter pieces that my company makes. And I investigated it for a couple of weeks, and I let it go because I was afraid. I was afraid of the unknown expenses. I was afraid of the difficulty. I mean, here I was trying to create a health department, A-rated and inspected facility to process dairy products in the middle of the desert. I really didn't think it was going to be easy, and in fact, it was not. But when it became the last year of my life, my fear about the unknown went away and was replaced by action. And there's a saying amongst the men in the men's divisions, and that is, doubt kills the warrior, and you have to get into action. Action is what erases doubt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people need to do. They need to get into action.
Action erases doubt. Very good words to keep in mind, because all of us are going to have our doubts. And I think the approach of what would you do if this was the last 52 weeks of your life is really quite a significant thing to put yourself into the mindset of. Now, I do have to mention, throughout your books, and they're 8.5 by 11 in size, they have got photos, you've got all kinds of quotes that are through them, and you have a number. I'm hearing a beeping. Are you still with me, Clint?
I'm still with you.
Okay, because I was hearing a strange beeping there. All right. But you have so much in your book, and you say right at the beginning, I don't want you to skip ahead. I want you to do it one step at a time, because it's a process that you're working with, and I think it's something that allows someone to realize they only have to do one page at a time. When you put this one together, and then you had the income doubler, when you're with people and they say, gee whiz, I'd like to do the income doubler, I'd also like to work with your program the last year of your life, how would you tell them to manage that?
Well, the income doubler can work very nicely with the last year of your life. It really can. The last year of your life requires a couple hours of work every week, and the income doubler requires about 20 minutes of work every day. So I recommend that people who are living the last year of their life should go for it, should go for the challenge. Rise up, as General Patton said, rise up to the challenges so that you can feel the exhilaration of victory. I love that quote. And it's true. If there's no challenge, there's no exhilaration from the victory. And so one of the things that I encourage everyone to do when they're living the last year of their life is to say, hey, when the end of this year comes, I want to feel like twice the earner that I've been my whole life. I want to have twice the self-worth that I had when I started this year. And the way to get twice the self-worth is by earning twice as much money. Because however much money you earn is an exact picture of your self-worth.
And that is something that someone might say to you, Clint, you're out of my mind. I was making $100,000. I got laid off at work, and you're telling me now, with the economy as it is, that I could be back at $100,000 a year or more? What would you say?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, because of my factory and because of the income doubler, and I have done the income doubler process two times, doubled my income two times using the exact process. And because of that process, I have been experiencing record months. I have bar charts comparing the revenues and income to my butter company year over year. And the bar charts are amazing, and they don't lie. The revenues are doubled what they were. And it's an amazing feeling to be able to go around the country, as I've done, be interviewed on television stations and news programs all across the country, as I have done, and to know that the whole world is having a tough time during the quote-unquote Great Recession, and here I am experiencing record revenues and income at the same exact period. And what does that mean? It means that you get what you expect, and you get what you believe will be true, and I believed, I convinced myself and my subconscious mind to believe that I was going to be doubling my income, and that's exactly what I did. And anybody can do it. I was just a taxi driver, okay? On the millennium, when my wife was in Maui partying with her friends in the film industry, I was driving a taxi. This was before I met her, okay?
Mm-hmm.
When the whole world was partying on New Year's Eve, 1999, turning into 2000, I was driving a taxi. I made $523 that night, and it was like the culmination of my five-year taxi driving career. But here we are now in 2011, and I've completely transformed myself from that low point in my life. And if I can do it, anybody can do it. It just is a matter of self-discipline and perseverance and faith in yourself and in the process that you're following. And I have to tell you, the income doubler is a process that works. And you can see all kinds of people who have done it on video talking about their own personal different experiences with it at theincomedoubler.com. And the last year of your life is a life-changing process which will transform you into a completely different person. And it is the culmination of 10 years of self-help work that I have done with the biggest name brands like Tony Robbins and Deepak Chopra, all the way down to really esoteric little men's self-help circles where some of the most spiritual experiences that I have ever known have occurred for me and the men in the circles with me. And all of that knowledge and experience and my time as leader of those circles has been put into the income doubler, into the last year of your life process. And then I've personally lived through the last year of your life process now 3 times, and all of that experience has gone into the last year of your life book. So that experience is amazing.
In the last year of your life, you have a number of sections that people go through, and those that particularly grabbed me were the one chapter was on integrity, which I think is extremely important. And then also there's a chapter where you're asking the question, what do you stand for? You go into developing connections with people, making amends if there are individuals that you feel that you wronged and what you can do to rectify that, whether they're dead or alive. And then you had a section, that's right at the very end of your book, on the last will and testament. And I thought that was a very interesting approach, but of course, this is for the last year of the life, 52 weeks here, but this is in week 46. Why was it important to put this into the book?
Well, I always had it as part of the process, but I put it in week 46 because something amazing happened when I was living the last year of your life experience with people all around the world, as I told you I did. The youngest man in the program that year was 33 years old. His name was West White. And interestingly enough, there was someone in the program who was writing a movie about the process of living the last year of your life. And he recruited West White to come and join the program because West White was going to play the lead in that movie. And on October 28th of that year, Wes White went to sleep at the age of 33 and did not wake up. Mm-hmm. And it only goes to underscore the fact that none of us knows for sure if this is or is not really going to be the last year of our life. It could be. It really, really, really could be. None of us knows. And if it's your time, then it's your time. If it's not, you can take a bullet to the head like Congresswoman Giffords in Arizona and survive. But if it is your time, then I really want everyone who does this process to graduate from it with their affairs in order. And there's nothing that can help you to put your affairs in order more clearly than having write out your last will and testament. So that's why it's there, and that's why it's there on week 46.
And then you also talk about doing a ceremony. You have a fabulous ceremony in here about a shaman and what to do and what you went through in this process along with some other individuals so there could be a ritual rebirth. But you don't just stop with the year. You actually encourage people to look at a 5-year vision as well in your book. And I thought,
yep,
that is a very good idea.
It's so great because the last year of your life ends with a death ritual. And I didn't invent or create death rituals. People have been experiencing death rituals for thousands of years. In fact, I just met a woman who told me that she was down in Peru and did a death ritual where they actually bury you alive. And you spend the night buried alive with a straw in your mouth so you can breathe through the dirt. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to be leading one more program of the last year of your life for people around the world, and it's going to begin on December 21st of 2011, the last year of the Mayan calendar, which may be the last year of the world. And when we do the death ritual at the end of that year, the people will be buried alive, because it just was so profound and made so much sense. But then when you have gone through the ritual death, now you have cleaned everything. You have created a sense of peace with yourself and with your maker or higher power, whatever you may believe in. You've made amends to all the people in your life that you've hurt or have injured. You've done everything that you can. If you've really committed and lived the last year of your life experience the way people ought to, because it's so powerful when you really go for it. And then you're left so clean, like a brand new baby. And so the death ritual is the real gift that leads to the rebirth ritual. And that rebirth ritual, you're in such a, what Tony Robbins would call, a peak state. How many times in your life can you say that you have achieved peace with yourself and your maker? There's so few. And that is my peak state. And so when you get to that peak state, I offer the opportunity to the people to imagine what it would be like to have everything that they've always wanted 5 years down the road, and visualize what that is. And then the plan becomes a five-year plan to go for creating that reality. Because I know to go from being a nearly bankrupt, heavily in credit card debt taxi driver around the turn of the century to where I am now, anything is really possible. I mean, I lead such an amazing life. And I was such a I did not lead that amazing life. I was such a loser at that point. And so I know that anything is possible, and it's really a matter of just going for it. So create the 5-year plan, and then figure out the steps using the technology that you learn during the last year of your life about goal setting, about creating and visualizing how to make your dreams become reality. Make all of that happen in 5 years' time. And if you really dedicate yourself to it, then you can do it.
Well, Clint Arthur is a man that is talking the talk, but he's walked the walk. So I think you would find his material very interesting. The last year of your life is the one book, The Income Doubler, Double Your Income in 180 Days or Less. What have you got to lose? Not a thing. Why not invest in yourself? The books are meant to be hands-on. You write in them. Follow the simple principles, and your life, perhaps just like Clint's, could be turned around because you change your belief system within yourself. So both of these books are a very good read, but more than that, they're not just a read. They're a do along with the reading. Action is the major magical word here, and I think it would be very inspiring for anyone who's listening. If you are feeling like your life is deprived, that you are not going to be able to make things happen, check this out, because I think it'll be very, very much worth your while. TheIncomeDoubler.com. And Clint, do you have a separate website for your other book, or is it under The Income Doubler as well?
TheLastYearOfYourLife.com.
So you've got a website for each of them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I want to say one more thing, and this is the little sneaky part of it all. This is all about leadership, especially the last year of your life, but the Income Doubler too. These are leadership seminars that people are taking, because they're all about leading yourself through the experience. And in the last year of your life, we go into leadership and how to be a leader and how to be a better leader, but it all begins with leading yourself. And I know these are troubled times, and I know that people are having hard times. And the sad reality is that, like the Israelites in the desert, you are going to have to lead yourself out of it if you want to get to the promised land. It may take 40 years, but you're the only person that's going to be able to lead yourself out of this station in your life and make it happen so that you can create the life that you really, really dream for yourself.
Clint Arthur has been my guest today. His two books, The Income Doubler, go to that website. Also, The Last Year of Your Life. Add a .com after each of them, and you'll find out exactly what you need to know. Clint, thank you so much for being my guest today. This is Donna Sebo, and we're taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hello and welcome back. This is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you're a first-time listener, you have an opportunity, if you so desire, to call in and chat with me. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. All I need from you is your first name or your initial, and then after that, just sit back, relax, and let me tell you what I perceive. Of course, you're always going to be welcome to ask a question, if you so desire, after I finish giving you the information I perceive. And for those of you listening from the far north, the state of Alaska, I'm going to be up there May 9th through 15th, and I will be available for private consultations. And if you want to reach me, the number to call is 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. Again, give me a call today if you'd like to chat with me directly, 888-815-9756. Well, we're hearing so much about the royal wedding that is coming up. Yes, it's really going to be a big to-do. But I have an article on, you might say, a royal event and an entirely different layout. In fact, it was done, this royal family event, at a high school in Lawrence, Kansas. It's called Free State. And every male senior gets on the ballot for becoming homecoming queen if he wants to participate. But they said, you know what? There were kids that when they were going through all the names, they noticed one particular boy's name missing, and that was Owen. And they said, I wonder why that is. All the other guys have their names in here. Well, how come Owen's name isn't on here? Well, they found out why. Owen was a special needs student, and apparently there was a policy at the school that excluded any special need kids, males, from putting their name on the list. Well, there were two students, Audrey Hughes and Allie Friedman, that said, this is not acceptable. This is not going to work. They said, he is one of the nicest kids in school, and he should be able to be a part of this activity. Just because he's a special needs kid doesn't make any difference. They said he stands in the commons every morning, says hello to everybody. So this is what these two young students did. They put together a petition, gathered over 800 student signatures, And that persuaded the principal to reverse this policy that had been on the school books for years, dumping it. Then they said, let's get the vote campaign going for the male senior who's going to be able to be the homecoming king. Well, apparently, when the event came, the stadium is where everybody gathered, and they said, this was in 2010, your 2010 Free State High School homecoming king is, yes, you probably guessed it, Owen Ferris. He was given a crown. I've got a photo of him in front of me, and he was absolutely thrilled. One of the students, one of the two, who said, we cannot allow someone to be excluded just because they're a special needs student. They said, this was important because we didn't want discrimination to exist. It's unnecessary, it's not appropriate, and so we had to get rid of it. Well, this young man is very proud of having gotten the honor of being homecoming king for his school. But more than anything else, I think the story is a very powerful statement how two people, not just one, but two, decided to join forces and to take a stand against that which was no longer appropriate. This is something that I think we need to remember, and that is part of the American culture. You have a right to stand up, speak out, and take your proposal for change to the people. These high school students did a wonderful demonstration of being able to reverse something that was no longer suitable for the environment at the school. And it really has made a difference for those future generations that are going to be attending the school so that everyone will be able to participate in a way that is balanced and best for their environment. Who knows, maybe those two students will be able to make a difference in other ways, doing other things, but I think they are a wonderful example for us. Because of our topic today and having Clint Arthur on and him talking about the income doubler process and doing something like working with the last year of your life, I thought that this quote was a very good one, and it's by Dr. George D. Stoddard. He said, the democratic ideal is contradictory to both tyranny and ignorance. Men must be free, not only to think, to speak, and to worship, but to build within themselves through education a preparedness for their later years. Not every man can be a leader, but every man, however limited his natural capacities, can improve in the direction of better choices for himself and his children. If our education is good, then by educating all the people, we give every person a better chance. Those words of wisdom are powerful, and they are something we should hold in our minds and in our hearts. We must remember that education is an ongoing process. I always like the program about Hercule Poirot, the detective, that strange little man that works like a penguin. I think he's absolutely delightful. And I often like the little excerpts every once in a while to come out. He talks about his little gray cells. Well, contrary to popular opinion, those gray cells are active and they do reproduce. That's right. As you get older, you're not supposed to get dumber. You are supposed to get smarter. But getting smarter means that you have a willingness to open your mind and your attitudes to learning new things. There's a very dear friend that I have who has been retired for years and years and years, an extremely skilled carpenter. And he retired at the age of 55, and he's now, I'd say, close to his middle 70s. And he said, you know, Donna, I really was very proud of the work that I did, and I knew a lot of things, and I was one of the best in the business. When I retired, I found that I was sort of getting out of the loop. Well, as it turned out, when he entered into his 70s, one of his neighbors sold a home, and this home was occupied by a young couple, and they're in their 20s. As it turns out, the young husband ends up coming over, talking to Gary, about some things that he notices that needs to be improved in the older home that he had purchased. Well, Gary decides he's going to chat with this young man. He's very friendly. And he learns that this young man is a carpenter. Well, that was Gary's skill. He said, you know what's really interesting? He said, there's a lot of things this young man doesn't know that I do know about. Various types of materials, different systems that were in place. Here's Gary in his 70s saying, but the shoe is also on the other foot. He said, this young man knows about tools and implements for making carpentry much more comfortable to do. So he said, I learned from him. And I think that this is very important. Just because someone is older or younger, age isn't really relevant. It's what can we share with each other? What can we learn? The young neighbor learned from Gary about a lot of different things that in his young life he's never had an experience with. Gary, in turn, has not been in school working and learning with aspects of new technology. He said, holy Moses, if I'd had some of these tools, I could have done a lot more in a lot less time. So Gary is excited about learning from this young man. The young man loves to come and talk to Gary because there are things that he's experiencing that the younger generation knows nothing about. He said, this is really a win-win. Too often we take and close doors when we should open them. We make assumptions, but you never know what you can learn from another human being. So always keep that in mind as you go about your daily activities. And you know what? One of the greatest gifts you can ever give yourself is a willingness to ask questions and tell people that you don't know something. Could they help you? It's amazing. When someone asks you for help, do you turn them down? Do you snub them? Do you walk away? I bet you don't. I bet you say, gee whiz, I'll be happy to help you. That happened to me yesterday when I was in our local grocery store. I was walking down the aisle that has the sugars and the flours and baking things, and I was looking around, and there was this young man and young woman. They were standing there, and they were young Asian people, and they didn't speak very good English, and the young woman hands me a box of instant pudding, and she said, is this good for cheesecake? And I looked at her, and I had been focused on something else, and I said, oh, no, 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 that doesn't make cheesecake. That'll make you a pie if you want that makes a pudding pie. It's like a custard. And I said, here on the side of the box, you can read how to do it, and you put it into a graham shell crust or a regular dough crust that's already been cooked. And I said, then you will have something that is called a custard kind of a pie. And her boyfriend, her friend, may not have been a boyfriend, I don't know, was listening, and he said, oh. And I said, let me show you what you can buy if you don't have a cheesecake recipe and you're wanting a cheesecake. I said, there are three items up here on the shelf. That's what this one is, and this one. So I took the time to point it out. I had to chuckle because I happened to turn around as I passed them by, and they thanked me. They were very sweet, very gracious. And I happened to hear that boy said, I want the cheesecake. So he goes over and he gets the boxes of the cheesecake. Would I have turned away from them asking a simple question, will this make cheesecake? Of course not. This is something we all like to do. We like to be helpful. Remember, people like to assist others. They really, really do. It's part of, I think, the realness of human beings. And nobody can help you if you don't ask the questions. It is an amazing phenomena, and I think if you learn to trust, don't be afraid. Say, I really need to know about this. You'll be amazed. You might even make a good friend in the process. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. When we come back, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and maybe some more of something else. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be taking a break. We'll be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815-9756 is the telephone number to call into. Now, tomorrow we are going to be talking with Murray Ebner. We're going to be stepping back into real life history. Murray is a gentleman that has walked a path in life I don't think any of us would have wanted to walk. And he's telling his story because it's his legacy. Chosen for reasons unknown. I think that it is so important. I don't know if you have any elderly members of your family, but I'll tell you what. I think it's important to record their stories because the lives that they lived and the world that they were in as they were growing up and coming into their years of maturity, very different from the world that we live in today. And the wisdom of what they experienced and lived through is often lost when we are not able to record it. Well, Murray was put to task by his family, and he's put the book together, Chosen for Reasons Unknown. He's going to be my guest tomorrow. On Thursday, we are going to be talking about a subject I really have a passion for, and that is libraries. This is Saving Our Public Libraries. Janet Jay is going to be my guest on Thursday, and this is something that I feel so passionate about, and I'll tell you why. I have the privilege and opportunity of interviewing hundreds of people a year on my show. I read hundreds of books a year. Not many people have that kind of opportunity. I have a passion for it. Very eclectic, anything from quantum physics down to how to teach your dog to walk by your side. It doesn't make any difference. There are a lot of people that are out there sharing their knowledge. Libraries provide a haven for people that don't have much money. If you're job hunting, you have an opportunity to have access to computers. If you can't afford it, it's there for you. You have access to librarians who have tremendous knowledge and can assist you in searches for just about anything you can imagine. So that's on Thursday. And on Friday, we're going to be talking with John Farr. This is a man who is extremely knowledgeable about wills, trusts, and probates. What you need to know. Why is this important? A probate can negate something in a will. A trust can cause a problem with a probate and a will. How do you make them work together? What do you need to be aware of so that you can be consciously alert when you put together any one of these, the will, the probate, the trust, any point of information regarding any one of these, so that you know how to do it in the right way. So that's our lineup for the rest of the week. A lot of good information that I think you can really benefit from. I wanted to share some tips with you that involve your garden. This time of the year is absolutely awesome in the Pacific Northwest, which is where I am located. And I'll tell you, just in the last hour, we have had rain, blue skies showing, winds, and then cold temperatures. It's really been interesting, but that's not unusual for us. This is just the time of the year when you really want to be out in the garden. And if you're fortunate enough to live in an area where you've got lots of sunshine, wow, it's just absolutely awesome. Well, I thought I would share some information with you about some items that you could put into your garden to make it even more colorful. We have discovered, for example, in our particular neighborhood, that there are species of hummingbirds that we've lived here for years. We had no idea they were even around. We'd see them during the summer. We didn't know that they actually lived in the Pacific Northwest the entire year. They don't migrate the way many species of hummingbirds do. So we started putting out a hummingbird feeder. Well, now we have so many hummingbirds come in, we have to change or fill the feeder a couple of times a week. They are taking in so much of that wonderful nectar, the sugar water. Well, if you'd really like to attract more of those beautiful creatures into your yard, hummingbirds go everywhere, there is a particular flower called the Summer Jewel Red Salvia. It blooms about 50 days after you sow the seeds, and it continues to produce flowers all the way through autumn, and they have bright red flowers. And I've got a picture of it in front of me. They have stalks, and then there's a number of blooms on the stalks. So they're just absolutely beautiful. And if you want to have particular kinds of birds in your environment, you need to remember that there are certain things that attract them. With hummingbirds, they love the color of red. Now, if you really want flowers that are not going to be a lot of hassle, maybe your garden is on your outside patio section. Maybe you have some pots. Why not plant some petunias? There's a particular one, and petunias are so pretty. It's called Petunia Opera Supreme Pink Morn. Oh, I know it's a long title, but it's still a beautiful flower, and it's won awards. They don't get disease. They don't require trimming. You don't have to pick off the dead blooms. And they're just absolutely gorgeous. In fact, they're iridescent. And, you know, they're just amazing flowers. So you will find that you would enjoy that too. Butterflies. A lot of species of butterflies are endangered at this time. And if you want to contribute to it, here is a plant that you could put in your yard or in a pot out on your deck or, you know, if you had a balcony, if you lived in an apartment. It's called the Superbena Royale Chambray Verbena. Yes, I know that's another long one. Superbena Royale Chambray Verbena. Butterflies love this. There's an expert gardener. His name is Mark Cullen, and he said it's extremely fragrant. The blossoms are a rich purple color, low maintenance, it loves the heat, and it blooms from late spring until first frost. And you can check at any of your gardening facilities, and I'm sure they'll give you a lot of good information on it. And there's a new berry also that's out, and this is a shrub, and it's a pink blueberry. Who would have thought we could have a blueberry that's going to end up being pink? I never knew about it. Well, apparently it is one that just absolutely is beautiful to see develop. It blooms with a pink bell-shaped flower, and then in the summer, you have blueberries. Then in the fall, the leaves turn a gorgeous orange, dark red color. Wonderful. So again, that is the pink lemonade blueberry. So those are just a few tips for you. I know we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for my wonderful guests. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Remember, no one has dominion over your mind but you, and you're the one that will be making the choices that can allow your income to double and make your life richer than you could ever dream. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be here same time, same place right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.